51552.
Dave Fanning.
On 2FM.
Now, during the month of July and August, the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin is presenting a season of films. It's called Films You'd Love Your Kids to See on the Big Screen This Summer. It's a tricky one. It's not on the big screen this summer is where it's happening. It's not part of the title. It's just Films You'd Love Your Kids to See. Gosh, there could be a billion on that list. Anyway, we've asked TV and film director Brian Redden to give us his selection of kids' movies that he'd inflict upon his children, or should I say, sorry, invite and encourage his children to watch. Sorry, that's the way I'll put it. Now, Brian, first things first. You know what you're talking about. You've got five kids under 11.
I have five kids under 11. That is correct. I have four girls and a boy, age 11, 10, 6, 4, and 3.
Wow. Okay. Well, nobody is better qualified. And you know your movies inside out and backwards. So, will we start at the beginning? Just go on. Go for one.
Well, as I say, I do go to, presently, that's most of the movies I go and see are kids' films because that's because
one way to shut them up.
One way to shut them up and actually to get a bit of kip. But actually, the quality of kids' movies are very good. Well, some of them, and some of them are a lovely 2 hour snooze. Yeah. So I do get to go to a lot of kids' movies, and thankfully now I'm at a stage where I can start showing my kids movies that I grew up with and movies that I love, and thankfully they seem to enjoy the same types of movies that I like.
Right, you've answered the question. I was just going to say that's a bit of a trap sometimes you can fall into, make a fool of yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have done, like, I have shown them a couple of things that I absolutely adored and they hated them, they just did not get them, you know. Strangely enough, some of the stuff that they really enjoy are stuff like Laurel and Hardy movies, you know, and Charlie Chaplin movies.
Pratfalls and stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm surprised how Laurel and Hardy haven't really aged that badly. Laurel and Hardy is very good for kids. I often show them some Laurel and Hardy flicks, but they wouldn't necessarily be kids' movies. But still, the slapstick and the silly humour, they love it. They absolutely adore it. But in terms of the films that I love growing up.
Can I just say, sorry, but I have to say, I was in Los Angeles many years ago and I was going out with a friend of mine. I had two little kids with me. And this friend of his said he'll do the babysitting. He's a real kind of cool kind of guy. And I was like, great. And they were like three and five. So he really got the whole thing together, popcorn and all this, and he got all these movies that they're going to love, these like Darby O'Gill and the Little People, that he's American thing, whatever, and they hated the stuff, but nothing's getting blown up here, not even a leprechaun. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. It was a mistake you can make.
I've never shown them Darby O'Gill and the Little People, actually. Yeah, that's one that I must show them, or should I? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of it myself, but no, they haven't seen that. They haven't seen that one.
With Sean Connery. Anyway, go on, tell us.
Great Sean Connery, yeah, indeed. So I think, the classic, the all-time classic for me growing up, where the kind of perennial favourites used to show around Christmas time and Easter, so you had the likes of The Wizard of Oz and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and those and Willy Wonka.
Okay, hold on. I think the Wizard of Oz. I can understand the Willy Wonka coming to the Sun TV. That I don't think my kids have probably ever seen The Wizard of Oz. Is that shame on you, Dave?
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they have. Yeah,
really.
I think I've only seen it like once by accident. Once I don't really know it as well as
really. Well, I love The Wizard of Oz. I think The Wizard of Oz is a fantastic.
Have you ever played Dark Side of the Moon to it?
Backwards, is it? They play it backwards, and yes, right. Yeah, there's a lot of things associated with The Wizard of Oz which are quite odd. But I mean, it's definitely growing up. It was one of my favorites, and I made sure my kids watched it, and they absolutely adored it. Now, having said that, they do find it kind of scary because The Wizard of Oz has huge, great, scary elements in it. And I think, you know, good movies for kids do tend to have very good baddies in them. And the Wicked Witch of the West was kind of a classic screen villain. But Oz, I absolutely adored it. And they loved it. And I'm sure people know the story of it. But the history of it is fascinating because Oz, it goes back as far as 1939. You have Judy Garland in the lead role playing Dorothy, and she was only 16 at the time. But apparently she wasn't the first choice to play Dorothy. Shirley Temple was the first choice to play Dorothy. You could see that, you know, but her singing voice wasn't good enough, so Judy Garland stepped in. But there was loads of stories behind the casting of it, you know, because you have the Scarecrow played by Ray Bolger, and Jack Haley plays the Tin Man, and Bert Lahr plays the Lion. Those central trio, which are brilliant. But originally, actually, Buddy Ebsen was supposed to play the Tin Man, and Buddy Ebsen, people would know him as he was the father in the Beverly Hillbillies. Jed Clampett, was that his
name? That's right, indeed. Let's do a story about a man named Jed.
Jed, exactly. That was Buddy Ebsen. Buddy Ebsen was hired to play the part of the Tin Man. And believe it or not, when they painted him silver, the silver paint seeped through his skin and poisoned him. So he actually shot.
In a Goldfinger kind of way.
In a Goldfinger kind of way. I think he would have known. So that's covered this man head to toe in paint and tinfoil, and he'd be fine. But actually, he got really sick. So they shot a load of scenes with him as a tin man, and then he had to pull out of the production and be replaced by somebody else. So it was a very odd beginnings to The Wizard of Oz.
Okay, well then now listen to a clip with that in mind.
Why, if our scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, the crows would be scared to pieces.
They would? Where's Kansas?
That's where I live. And I want to get back there so badly, I'm going all the way to Emerald City to get the Wizard of Oz to help me.
You're going to see a wizard?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if I went with you, this wizard would give me some brains?
I couldn't say. But even if he didn't, you'd be no worse off than you are now.
Yes, that's true.
But maybe you better not. I've got a witch mad at me, and you might get into trouble.
Witch? I'm not afraid of a witch. I'm not afraid of anything. Oh, except a lighted match.
I don't blame you for that.
But I'd face a whole box full of them for the chance of getting some brains. Look, I won't be any trouble because I don't need a thing. And I won't try to manage things because I can't think. Won't you take me with you?
Why, of course I will.
Hooray! We're off to see a wizard!
God, off to see the wizard. Off and to the see tin the wizard. Man was off to hospital, wasn't he, because of the pain.
He was off to emergency and they were off to see the wizard. And the wizard in the film obviously was played by Frank Morgan. Originally, it was supposed to be W.C. Fields. W.C. Fields would have been really interesting playing the wizard in that.
Because he doesn't like kids.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, you know, it was made... It was really interesting because it was $3 million. Back in 1939, a very expensive movie. MGM made it. It nearly broke MGM. Really, really expensive. It wasn't the first movie to use Technicolor, but it was kind of the most famous of the earlier movies to have Technicolor scenes in it. So it was really, really expensive.
Can I just ask you a question? When you're walking to the cinema and you're sitting down with the five kids and you're buying the popcorn and all that, are you wafting away like this to them and they fall asleep before it starts?
No, I do all that in the car on the way down. But they do ask me stuff and I'm more than happy to impart whatever the knowledge I have.
I'm fascinated and I hope everybody else is too. Anyway, let's go for another one besides The Wizard
Chitty
of Oz.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Do you like it? Have you seen it?
Yeah, again, it's one of those movies that I saw, yeah, enjoyed. Next.
Yeah, really. Sorry, well, I love Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I've seen it many, many times. I've seen it many, many times recently with the kids, and they absolutely adore it. And Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I think, is brilliant because it's got great performances in it. Again, it's got a really great baddie in it. I mean, I remember seeing it as a kid, the child catcher that tries to round up the kids when they get to Bavaria or wherever it is they're going to get the car back. I mean, he was just sinister and evil and horrible. Played by a brilliant actor called Robert Helpman, who was actually a ballet dancer. So if you look at the scenes, you can see he kind of moves with the grace of a ballet dancer. It's fascinating. But Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is interesting because it's great James Bond connections with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It was based on a book by Ian Fleming, who wrote the Bond movies. It was produced by Albert Broccoli, who produced the Bond movies.
And it's got a cool car.
And it's also got Desmond Llewellyn, who played Q in the Bond movies, also appears in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, as does Arthur Mullard and Lionel Jeffries and Benny Hill's in it. I mean, it's a really eclectic cast.
These
in
are
that
things
movie.
I need. I'm going to amaze and baffle my friends at closing time tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Benny Hill is in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He plays the toy maker in it. But Dick Van Dyke, I think, is great in it. I think there's lovely tunes in it. I think there's great fantastical elements to it. I think it's one of a Roald Dahl actually interestingly wrote the screenplay, and Roald Dahl included the character of that child catcher. He thought it was too whimsical and too fantastical and hadn't got enough danger in it. So it was him. When he was writing the script, he included the character of the child catcher to make it a little
but
more
sinister.
But you
think it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Here, Joe wants the car now.
What an unusual car.
Daddy made it.
Oh, and it actually goes.
It's called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
That's a curious name for a motor car.
But that's the sound it makes. Listen.
Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, we love you and our pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang wants us to high low anywhere we go on chitty chitty we depend. Bang bang chitty chitty bang bang, our fine for Fender friend. Bang bang chitty chitty bang bang, our fine for Fender friend.
Indeed, the fine four fendered friend.
That's a good tongue twister friend.
Yeah,
speaking of that fine four fendered friend, do you know who owns that fine four fendered friend?
Sorry, you were saying that just beforehand there. Yes, so I interrupted you with the movie. Who?
Peter Jackson.
Really? As in Hobbits and all that.
As in the Hobbit himself, the director of The Lord of the Rings. And
He
bought it in auction, so he owns the original Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
As an investment or because he loves it?
He's a big collector of movie memorabilia, apparently.
Oh, really? Okay,
so he has all the original marionettes from Thunderbirds and things like that. And the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car now resides in a warehouse somewhere in New Zealand.
With all the other Lord of the Rings stuff. Okay, so that's two movies. Let's go for some more kids' ones that people should be hearing.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Not the remake, I hasten to add. I did not enjoy the remake at all. Tim Burton and Johnny Depp, I thought, was a ridiculous film. But the original movie, the 1971 version of it with Gene Wilder, I think is an absolutely magical film.
Well, this is one that everybody will know because it's just like It's a Wonderful Life. It's on every Christmas.
Yeah, it is. And it should be. And I have to say, I've watched it with my kids and they absolutely adore it. And Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, again, we go back to Roald Dahl. Roald Dahl wrote the screenplay for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He also wrote the screenplay for Willy Wonka, the Chocolate Factory. based on his own book. And it's just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant story. I think the cast in it, Gene Wilder is fantastic in it. There's great music in it, great performances by the kids in it. And it's just one of those things that comes on and just makes you feel great. And it's just a wonderful story.
Well, I'm going to make you feel great for at least 50 seconds. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Finito.
That's all?
That's all? Don't you know what this is?
My gum, it's gum.
Wrong. It's the most amazing, fabulous, sensational gum in the whole world.
What's so fab about it?
This little piece of gum is a three-course dinner.
Bull.
No, roast beef, but I haven't got it quite right yet.
I don't care.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I really wouldn't.
So long as it's gum, then that's for me.
Violet, now don't you do anything stupid.
What's it taste like? Fabulous. It's tomato soup. It's hot and creamy. I can actually feel it running down my throat.
Stop. Don't.
Why doesn't she listen to Mr. Wonka?
Because, Charlie, she's a nitwit.
It sure is great soup. Hey, second course is coming up. Roast beef and a baked potato. Mmm.
With sour cream? What's for dessert, baby?
Dessert? Here it comes. Blueberry pie and cream. It's the most marvelous blueberry pie I've ever tasted.
Holy Toledo, what's happening to your face?
Cool it, Dad. Let me finish.
Yeah, but your face is turning blue.
Your face is turning blue. The terrible thing about the movies so far, like, yeah, these movies happened to me. I saw them. I'm sorry, like, I'm missing out, am I, if I don't really see how important they are culturally?
Oh, Willy Wonka is such fun, though. You know,
And
Gene Wilder is such a great performance in it because he's kind of weird in it. He's kind of odd.
Have you seen him in Quacks Our Fortune?
Yeah, Quacks Our Fortune's got a cousin in the Bronx. It's one of the most classic lines I've ever heard in an Irish film where he's shuffling horse crap, horse manure in the back
outside
of the
Trinity or something.
Outside Trinity College. Yeah. And he's going, horse manure. And someone turns to his mother and goes, could you not get him to say something else? And he goes, we just got him to say manure. That was Quacks Our Fortune, of course. But he was brilliant in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Absolutely brilliant.
Okay, let's go on to something
else. I'll tell you one other thing before you leave Willy Wonka. Do you know the guy who played Charlie in it? Interestingly, that's the only movie he ever made.
Really?
Peter Ostrom is his name, the child actor.
Really? Again, things you need to know.
He made that movie and he decided, that's it, I don't want to be in films anymore.
Things you don't need to know, okay.
I don't want to be in films anymore, and he stopped making movies after that. So that was Charlie's only screen appearance.
The way Brian can do all this is just shout louder than me. Sorry, what's Peter Ostrom doing these days? You don't
Peter,
know, do you?
I do. He's a vet. He's a veterinarian, and he lives in upstate New York, and he became a vet. There you go.
Really? Okay, get him on the line. Okay, go on, give us another one.
The Iron Giant. I absolutely love The Iron Giant.
Now, this is very good. What do you call it? Oh, God, the guy's name. I've suddenly forgotten.
Ted Hughes?
No, the guy's name. The kid's name in it.
The character's name.
Yeah, I'll tell you his name in it. Now, you keep going and I'll tell you. It's like Horatio or something.
I can't remember the kid's name. It's gone in my head, too.
Hogarth. Where was I? Hector, Heathcote, everything
else. So Vin Diesel plays the voice of the Iron Giant. Anyone who hasn't seen The Iron Giant, it's based in a book by Ted Hughes. Yeah. And it was the first film directed by Brad Bird, who's gone on to do great movies, The Incredibles and Mission Impossible and whatnot. Yeah. And it's set during the Cold War in the 50s. So it has that kind of 1950s feel to it.
Yeah.
And it's about a giant robot that comes from outer space and people are very scared and worried about it because they think it may be something to do with the Cold War. And he befriends a small boy. Yeah. And his mother is voiced by Jennifer Aniston, and there's a local kind of beatnik guy.
But the beatnik guy is fantastic. He's in the kind of knacker's yard where he's banging. He's getting rid of all the
buses and he's making
and
stuff out of hubcaps of cars.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he kind of befriends the giant. He's voiced by Harry Connick Jr. Actually, voiced very well by Harry Connick Jr. And it's just a great movie. It's a great feel good.
Scary.
Film,
it's a bit kind of Cold War scary in
it
places.
Is, yeah, it's all about nuclear holocaust and the potential end of the world. Yeah. So there
and
is
the
that.
Kind of the feds in the black kind of whatever
men in black suits that turn up because. The feds turn up knowing that the kid has befriended this Iron Giant and they try to find out where he is with a view to either capturing him and using him as a weapon or dismantling him completely.
Yeah.
And the kid obviously tries to hide the giant from them.
It's
a really sweet story and it goes into really dark places but has a kind of a triumphant end to it. Yeah. It's just amazing. Wonderful. Yeah. It's a wonderful
And it's
thing.
Also there's a bit of Frankenstein about it. Go, this guy, like this monster is not the monster. You're the bloody monster.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's got a kind of a story going all the way through.
Yeah.
And interestingly, actually, Pete, you know, I didn't know this, but Peter Townsend was the guy from The Who bought the rights to the book originally and wrote a rock opera based on it. There's actually a rock opera based on The Iron Giant, written by Peter Townsend in the style of Tommy, right? And it actually played on the West End and apparently did very, very well. And it was only then someone bought the rights off, and whoever the company was bought the rights off Peter Townsend to make the movie, and they were going to make the rock opera version of it, and then decided, probably correctly, to drop all the songs from it and stick to the story.
Right. Speaking of which, by the way, you mentioned Chitty 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 Bang Bang. Wasn't that, was that a live thing in the Gosh recently?
It is, yeah.
I thought so.
Like, most of these things have gone on to become, you know, stage musicals, because they're all worth a fortune. Yeah. I mean, The Wizard of Oz has now been adapted to stage, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Okay, by the way, we are looking at your choices, as in Brian Redden's choices. Films you'd love your kids to see is what's happening in July and August at the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin. And you've done Wizard of Oz and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Willy Wonka, ones you really have to show kids, and you've done it with yours and The Iron Giant. Give us a few more.
So up to a more modern one, I think, is School of Rock. Absolutely think School of Rock is a great film.
I think School of Rock is a brilliant film. How much of it was riffed? How much did he just make up as he was going along? You couldn't have kind of written that.
And it's written by his co-star in it, the guy White, the actor White.
I'm trying to think of the name he said he was. What was it? Schneebly.
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 Hello, Schneebly on the phone. That's right, See, Jack Black and his partner in it, his real name is White, and he wrote the script.
Right.
But what's interesting, it was an interesting mix of people, because, you know, you have Richard Linklater, who directed it. And that's an odd choice for him.
Yeah.
There's a guy who comes
from Generation X and all that.
Yeah, Generation X, slacker movies, indie movies like Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Boyhood recently.
Yeah.
I mean, to do a film like this, which is essentially a kids' movie about a faded rock and roll guy, it was a really odd choice for him. But I think it worked really, really well. So you have Jack Black playing a guitarist in a band. The band don't want him. He's a bit overzealous. He's always doing stage dives where he's landing on his belly because people part like the Red Sea when he comes out.
And don't forget, he has a band himself where he is
Tenacious D.
Yeah, Tenacious D, where he's completely off the wall anyway.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely convinced he was just told, do whatever you do.
I'd say he
this
riffed.
Scene here, you're going to talk about Deep Purple, you're going to talk about Yes and how great those things are in Led Zeppelin. Now go for it.
Yeah, I think he did. And he basically, he's no job, and his mate is a teacher in this very prestigious school, and he pretends to be him, so he turns up to teach the kids music. Well, actually, he's not supposed to teach music, but he ends up teaching them music, and they kind of rock it out in a battle of the bands. But there's great music in it. There's great performances in it. There's some original songs in it, but it's mostly Jack Black being let loose.
Yeah, and by the way, there's a nice little sting in it, because the result of the battle of the bands isn't what you expect.
Exactly, exactly.
It's
not the Hollywood ending.
Yeah, it's not.
But what's good about it as well, I think, is that Jack Black is so strong, and he hasn't been that good lately.
No, he hasn't. Well, what was the one, Bernie? He was pretty good.
He was very good in Bernie, but in terms of like all-out comedy like that, he followed
he's
that.
He's very good. I mean, obviously, he's just a live wire. You plug him in and off he goes. And then with his guitar, you're plugged in twice. Here's a blast, School of Rock.
All right, look, here's the deal. I've got a hangover. Who knows what that means?
Doesn't that mean you're drunk?
No, it means I was drunk yesterday.
It means you're an alcoholic.
Wrong.
You wouldn't come to work hungover unless you're an alcoholic. Dude, you got a disease.
What's your name?
Freddie Jones.
Freddie Jones. Shut up.
Shut up.
The point is, y'all can just chill today. We'll start on this crapola tomorrow. Yes, Tinkerbell.
Summer, as class factotum, first I'd like to just say, welcome to Horse Green.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions about our schedule? Because usually now Miss Dunham teaches vocabulary, then gives us a pop quiz, then she'll split us up into our reading groups. Track B is reading
charts. Hey. Miss Dumbbum ain't your teacher today? I am. And I got a headache and the runs. So I say, time for recess.
It's good. It works great. Yeah, that's I've seen a bunch of times now.
Yeah, so. I've seen that loads of times.
Yeah,
and you can watch it. And it's got a nice message in it as well about being yourself and true to yourself.
He kind of blows when he's talking to all the people. Well, I've touched your kids.
It
goes from there.
But you're right. John Cusack plays a real prim and proper head.
Yeah, but she loosens up and he plays the right piece of music on the world.
Stevie Nicks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac. Exactly, he plays a bit of music for her and she comes around to his way.
Let's get a few more then in terms of this. Films you'd love your kids to see.
One of the great classics, I think, is The Princess Bride. You couldn't do a list of
My name is Diego Montoya.
My name is Diego Montoya.
Prepare to die.
You'll kill my father, prepare to die.
Oh, what is it? Plato, Aristotle, rubbish. Idiots.
It's just
Wallace Shawn.
But exactly, but it's infinitely quotable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it just has so many great lines in it.
Yeah.
The Princess Bride, it's 1987. Rob Reiner directed it and written by William Goldman.
Well, you think, I've just thought of it now. Do you know what The Princess is? House of feckin' Cards.
Robin Wright.
It couldn't be any different.
Robin Wright in a very, very early role. And William Goldman adapted it from his own book. And it's just got a great cast in it, a really mad cast of people in it. And it's a real true fairy tale. It really is. So anyone hasn't seen The Princess Bride, it's about literally that. It's about a princess bride who's taken away from the man she loves, and he goes in search of her. And there's a great character in it called Inigo, what is it? Inigo Montoya, played by Mandy Patinkin. And, yeah. and he's kind of like supposedly a bad guy, but he's not really that bad in it. He's searching for a guy who killed his father.
Ah, he's the hero.
He's the hero. You have Andre the Giant in there. Yeah. Again, who's a bad guy, yeah. but not really
and
a bad
Karyos
guy.
Karyos is a typical kind of like not great prince.
Karyos isn't great, yeah.
There's something very special about that movie. I'm not 100% sure what it is, and that's what makes it special. Now, let's go for the last three. What are they?
I think Home Alone. The original Home Alone. It's just a great flick. It's a great flick for kids. It's written by John Hughes and it's directed by Christopher Columbus.
Another one I've seen 7 or 8 or 10 times. Yeah, but it's great.
Do you enjoy it?
Ah, it's fantastic.
Macaulay Culkin. It's a cartoon, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a live action cartoon. Great performances by Joe Pesci. And it really introduced Macaulay Culkin to an audience. And I just think it's like watching a live action cartoon.
Yeah, no,
slapstick, silly,
perfect,
wonderful.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Similarly, I think
you filthy animal.
It's just he's so good in it, Joe Pesci. Who'd have thought he'd been capable of that kind of stuff? Toy Story 3, I think, is well worth mentioning. Of all the Toy Stories, I think it's fantastic.
Because you cried.
I nearly did.
Yeah.
I sat in the cinema and watched that with my kids and I was desperate to get something out of my eye. Oh, it's just a bit of popcorn.
But anything Pixar, come on. I mean, Inside Out is looking to be a rave movie.
So I hear. Cars wasn't so good. But I mean, Toy Story 3 really got me. And I think,
Cars wasn't so good.
At that point, you kind of have... You've invested in the characters.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I hear they're making a Toy Story 4.
Yeah. Well, Toy Story 1, 2 and 3 are fantastic.
Yeah,
that's fine by me. Okay, so one last one.
I think E.T., the all-time classic. I think E.T. really ticks all the boxes.
Surely E.T. is a bit too scary for some of the ones that you've got between 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, I think a couple, I think for the younger ones it probably would be. I think for the older ones, definitely really enjoyed it. And we did all sit down and watch as a family. The younger ones kind of went off it pretty quickly, you know, because you're right. I mean he dies in it, you know. So, I mean, for anyone who hasn't seen it, sorry, I just spoiled it.
Oh, my God.
Just stay there.
Next, you'll tell me the Titanic sank. Okay, by the way, just...
Oh, God. But E.T., just a wonderful, wonderful, fantastic
just finally
film.
From your point of view, when is your televisioning and seriesing and you're getting things together and so on?
I am, yeah. At the moment we're editing a 6-part series called Fear Bullock, what I wrote, with a huge eclectic cast which includes Angus McAnally, Sean McGinley and numerous other actors.
Liam Cunningham,
Stephen Ray, Amy Huberman. So yeah, that's going to be on in the autumn, 6-part series called Fear Bullock. So we're in the middle of cutting that. It's only going to be on TG Carr.
Okay, well listen, Brian Redden, good man yourself, we're talking here about films you'd love your kids to see, and here is the final and 10th one. It is E.T. Thank you very much indeed, Brian.
E.T. phone home. Home.
Does this mean they're coming?
Yes. E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home.
Stay.
E.T. phone home.
Shut up.
Oh, phone home.
Why?
Phone.